Hey guys, it's Lavetta.
And it's Miriam.
And this is the Notorious Women podcast, a comedy podcast about some of history's most notorious women.
Some of these queens are heroic.
And some of these bitches are horrific. But we think the most interesting thing of all and most surprising thing is that somehow they're all notorious.
Yes.
You see how I mixed it up a little bit for our first episode of mm-hmm. the new year? You mm-hmm. know, I was just mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah. Someone has to be sassy today. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying.
Yeah. You know.
How are you, my friend?
I'm hanging in there. You know, this break is long. It's very long.
That's because you have children.
Listen, for all my mamas out there whose uh-huh. children are still home in practically mid-January, I feel you. Okay?
It's not mid-January.
Can someone teach the children? Okay?
Oh my
you know what's
God.
Bad though is that it's like, okay, just, you know, play the video game. Just play the video game. Mama tired. Play the video game.
I mean, when we were kids, we had TV, and now parents have iPads and video uh-huh. games.
Uh-huh.
So,
and I really, listen, when I was pregnant, I was such a good mom. When I was pregnant, we did not have screen time. Oh no, absolutely not.
No,
we were playing in the fields, like Mother Nature bonded
God.
With my children.
Not frolicking.
But
You're
then
frolicking.
I pushed and out came two children and reality set in. Okay.
I mean, the good thing about twins is that you get it over with, you know, you get two for one.
Huh.
But you, the bad thing about twins is that you get two for one.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah. You win some, you lose some. Yes, that's true. I never have to be pregnant again. But there's two tiny infants and they're both hungry. You know? So
yes, yes. Oh, they're so cute, little baby feet. But I know. I mean, it's a new year, new
it
opportunity to do something wonderful.
Yes. I like your positive outlook. Yes.
Well, I was going to say it's also an opportunity to choke a bitch out.
I mean, sometimes that is a positive outlook. Okay.
I mean, sometimes you got to do that, you know. Mm-hmm. But but I mean, one thing that is new also for this new year, 2025, is that we have a new arc. We have a new season yes. that we're doing.
Yes, we do.
Notorious Women in Social Media.
That's a lot, y'all.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I mean, I'm excited because I know you're first. I'm also excited because I didn't have to do homework over the break.
I'm so mad at you. Okay.
But I'm also interested, very interested to see who your notorious woman is for this week, Notorious Women in Social Media.
Oh, Lavetta, I have such a good one.
Okay.
No. Okay. So I know that sometimes I bring the white ladies to the forefront. But today, she is almost translucent. Okay. Oh. Okay, she's so white, you could see through her. Okay.
Not the translucent white lady. Translucent.
White with seven H's. Okay. I am going to talk today about Hannah Nealman.
Hannah Nealman. Okay.
Right?
I don't know who that is.
No, because you're black and, you know, she's just like, live in your luck, girl. Live in your luck. Because this is some white lady shit right here. Okay.
Now, okay. So it's white lady foolishness.
Okay. Like, I don't even know where to begin. I was actually discussing this with my husband because I usually have like a through line and a thought. Like, I know it sounds like all we're doing is just like spouting out people, but actually, like, I really do look to put a through line through people's lives. Like, what
course.
Are we learning? What are we gaining? You know, what can we get from this person? What am I getting? What are you getting? Right. But this woman right here, first of all, she's still alive and thriving. So like, I'm not going to talk too much shit. So everything I'm saying is alleged.
Okay. Yes. Everything is alleged. Yes.
But also everything I'm saying was found from either the New York Times or the London Times or Wikipedia and a little bit of like social media stuff. Yeah.
Oh, she's international.
So, okay. She's international. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Let's start from the beginning. Yes.
Yes, please.
Okay. So she grew up in a Mormon family in Springville, Utah. She was the eighth of nine children, and her parents owned a flower shop.
Okay.
Cute, cute.
Okay. This is pretty white.
It's pretty white already, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Whoo.
And Mormon white.
This is like some Norman Rockwell painting, right?
Did you know Mormons didn't think black people existed before 1974? So.
No, honey, it was 1978, but that's fine.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. And then Reagan came to office, and I wonder if they were like, wait a minute, can we go back? You know, that was probably too late. Anyways. Mm-hmm.
Now, was she born in the 80s, 90s, 2000s?
She's like 34 now. That's okay. So, you know.
Yeah. 90s. Okay.
Yeah. So she said, she talked about how she grew up like foraging for food with her mother. Like they were hippies. Like she didn't even know that spaghetti could come in a can because it was just something you made fresh from your garden every Thursday. You know, I made up Thursday. But that, you know, that's how she was. That's how she saw life.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a thin line between hippie and alt-right. Okay, that's all.
Well, you
I
said
say
it. I didn't.
About that.
So, yeah.
It's true, though. Someone says they make their own soap. Ask questions. Okay. Not everyone. Leave me alone. Okay. Anyways, so she grew up. She went to, like, dance classes, did the kid thing. Now, I got to say, right, that in Utah, as a lover of the show So You Think You Can Dance, I happen to have inside knowledge that these Utahians are very good dancers. I made up Utahian, but I like it. Okay.
I mean, when you say dancing, like I've seen some Mormon dancing. I don't.
No. I mean, like, listen, it's really fascinating.
You mean they have a lot of dance culture, like dance class culture?
Like class culture. And these... Oh. Young white women are very sexy. They're just like, you know, but they're like if you hear next up is, you know, Kelly from Provo, Utah, she's going to kill it. And she's going to be all kinds of sexy. But, you know.
But no hip hop.
Listen.
Because black people didn't exist.
Lavetta, I said, so you think you can dance.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know why you just said the words hip hop when I said the word dance. And if you are new to this podcast, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry.
Listen, okay, it's not some of this newfangled nonsense that people from the streets are doing, you know.
Is that Glenn, the old man? It's so funny. I think he just stopped saying that because people are like, you sound old, dude.
Well, it's also like when the show came out, hip hop had been an intricate part of our culture for so long. Like, I love the show, but like I have known from the beginning that it's problematic. And I remember he would just be like, well, you can't do ballet. I'm like, yes, but the ballerina can't do hip hop.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so, like, you know.
And also it's like you... Yeah, it's so layered because it's like colonization, and it's like also you say it in this British accent.
Also, why don't you spin around on your head? Go ahead, spin around on your head. Yeah. No, is it too hard? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, back to the Mormons who I guess are taking dance classes. I'm kind of surprised because I grew up with some Mormons and I didn't think they were that much into dance, but they were not in Utah, so maybe.
And I'm telling you, there's a thing, which I think is fantastic. It's not a judgment.
Oh, no, not at all.
It's like, but it just seems like you watch the show and all of the Utonians, I like Utonian better, they are so good.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, so she did jazz and tap. And then when she was 11, a Russian ballet troupe came through and she watched them and she was obsessed. She loved it. So quote from her, quote, "They were like goddesses. I loved their physique and their strength." So she started taking ballet. She got very, very into it when she was 14. She went to a Juilliard summer ballet program. And then, so she trained very, very hard. Now, I read that at 16, she turned down a full scholarship to Brigham Young University in order to go to Juilliard instead. I'm just confused why any of this was happening when she was 16. Because Juilliard is a college. You go there as a college-aged human.
Was she that good that they were like, she's a phenom?
Okay. She's that good. She's really, really good.
That's a little early. It's not too early, but it's a little early.
So she lived in the dorms. She moved to New York City. She got a job as an usher at Lincoln Center. And it says that like to pay for school. But then she says she used all her money to like explore the cuisine of New York City, which ain't cheap. Okay.
Yeah. Cuisine. I mean, she's talking about, listen, pizza,
bagels,
Nathan's dog. So who's it? No, it's not. It's papaya. Gray's papaya.
Gray's papaya.
Dogs,
like, which is very close to Juilliard.
Yeah. But girl, you shouldn't be eating that. Not if you're a ballerina. They want to see the bones in the back.
It's very true. Sick. It's a problem. Yeah, it's a big problem. Yeah, no, I know. And also, like, it again, like, I said where I got my research. She talks about how she went to, like, did pageants, like, through high school and college. Like, she continued to do pageants, and she says she did that to help pay for school. That said, to enter a pageant, sometimes the cost of tuition, you know?
Yeah. Like, I'm also very surprised because Utah is very Mormon. They basically run Utah and some parts of Florida. But they, this pageants, is that a thing? I wouldn't think that was a thing with Mormons.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm telling you, like the dance, the pat, like.
Oh, okay.
There is this, and there is, and I think, because again, I went down rabbit holes, that Mormonism to some degree is adjusting to the world a little bit and allowing for like expression and, you know, there's only so much you can like push back on humanity before humanity explodes.
And I think Julianne Hough and her brother are more Mormons, right? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Like that whole, and they're, you know, so it's, listen, one of my closest friends is a Mormon and she would be like, yeah, dance. Okay, theater.
Yeah, that is true because the Mormons I grew up with, I didn't know they were Mormons until they coupled off when they were like 18.
Yeah.
And I was like, you getting what? You getting married? What? Like, what's going on here? And they were like, yeah, Mormon. I'm like, since when?
So, I can't even take care of myself at 18. At 18, please.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm so
working they're not
on
the
it.
Amish. Like, I'm acting like they're the Amish where, like, they're, you know, they're integrated into society. So.
Right. No, yeah. They are. But no, you think of it as a very, like, conservative.
And I also think we're thinking of the problematic ones who have, like, had standoffs with, like, the federal government or, like.
Which is, like, really good miniseries, but probably not
murder.
Most of them.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Again, I love a true crime, but that's not these people.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. I gotcha.
So let's keep talking. So anyways, so. She's going into her senior year of Juilliard and she's home for the summer and she meets this guy, Daniel. And it's, I guess, at like a local sports game. I don't know sports. Don't ask me questions about sports. And he like is enamored. Okay. He's like 23. She's around 21. And quote from him, "I saw her and I was ready to go. Sign me up. I was thinking, let's get married, but she wouldn't go on a date with me for 6 months." So according to Daniel and this very reputable newspaper, he saw her and was like, "I want to marry you now." But she didn't want to go on a date with him. Anyways, cut to, I'm guessing that she's home for Christmas because it's 6 months later. She tells him, hey, I'm flying out tomorrow or wherever. I'm flying out to go from Salt Lake to New York to go back to school. Okay, back to Juilliard. Okay. The next day, she shows up to the airport to get to board her flight, and he is there. And he is sitting in the seat next to her. How? Why? His daddy owns JetBlue.
Oh.
Yes.
So she's landing her a rich man. I mean, rom-coms would tell us that this is romantic, but the real world is like, stalker.
Oh, my God. Because I even wrote that down. Because stalker much? Also, you know when you go to your flight, you show up with your little ID and your ticket on your phone, you know, mm-hmm. and you're like, I'm ready to board the plane that I've spent a lot of money to purchase a seat on. And mm-hmm. they say, no, you can't do that. And you're like, but I gave you money.
Right.
Like, and you gave me confirmation, which is the number I have right here. Right. And they're like, no. Well, this is what happens. Daniel kicks you out of your seat so he can sit next to this woman he's stalking. That's what happens. Fucking Daniel.
Yeah. And this would be like 20. So I'm thinking this is like 2014, 15.
Yes.
No, 2000.
No. 13.
No, it would be like 2010, 2009. If she's around 20.
No, a little later. 2012, I think.
I should have written down dates or something. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All she's right. like 21.
Okay. So this is after September 11th, though.
Oh yeah.
It's way after. Okay.
Billionaires do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You try not to think about it every day. Hard to in this country. Anyway.
So wait a minute. She yeah. said no, and then 6 months later, she's like, "Oh yeah, I'm going back to school," and then he shows up in the seat mm-hmm. next to her. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now.
So then some stalker moves, right?
Yeah.
It gets more fun. So okay. that's what they consider their first date is that okay. plane ride. Cute. Okay. Quote Hannah, back then I thought we should date for a year before marriage so I could finish school and whatever. And Daniel was like, it's not going to work. We've got to get married now.
No, so like this.
My
nah.
move is to punch you in the face and walk away. That's what I do. Okay.
And also, if she went to school at 16 and she has one more year, she's like 19.
She's like, right. Almost that's 20. That's why the numbers are weird because she's like almost, she's around 21. But I don't, but if she started at 16 going on 17, then that works.
That's what I'm saying. She's like 19, 20. Like,
yeah, she's like 20, 21.
She's probably under, and he's 23, so he's a little bit older than her, which is fine at that age. But, and then he's like, we have to get married? Like, you can't wait right. a year? Okay, I don't like this.
So they were engaged after a month. 2 months later, they were married. They moved into an apartment that he rented on the Upper West Side. As you well know, that apartment was $12,000 a day. And 3 months after that, she was pregnant.
I don't like this. Okay.
Mm-mm. Okay. She was the first Juilliard undergraduate to be pregnant while graduating. Yeah. Because hopes and dreams.
See, this is how men use pregnancy to clip your wings.
I have a theory. And
I don't understand why he couldn't wait 8 months. Like,
because
dude.
He needed to control her. He saw her. He wanted her. And he needed to control her. Now, maybe he's so brainwashed he doesn't see anything wrong with that. Because the Lord put men to wed woman and whatever Bible quote you want to give me. But I'm going to tell you. World, not like you.
No, I know what you're saying. I'm just like disgusted at like,
because
I know you're right.
Created the power dynamic in which he was able to hold the puppet strings for their entire lives.
Under the guise of it being romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this age, you don't really know that's what's happening. Like, even though there's a part of you, because it sounds like she probably doesn't have a lot of experience with boys. And then he's rich. He's probably not bad looking.
He's not good looking. He's fine.
But you know what I mean? Like he's, and I'm sure encouraged by her family. Oh, he comes from a good family. The father of the family's
rich. A rich Mormon family. We're Mormon.
Yeah, like.
Yeah.
But I don't like the idea. It's like, dude, you couldn't wait fucking 8 months. Did she graduate though?
She did graduate. Okay. It's my only saving grace is that she graduated. Okay. Now, here's what happened. Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. P.S. She defends him to the nth degree. She defends him consistently. Well, of course she is, because
that's the reason to get with a very young woman.
Yeah. Who and grew
train,
up the way
quote unquote, train her up the way you want her, because she will always defend you and be like, nothing's wrong with it.
This is what I want.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So he gets a job as the director of his father's security company. He earned that job. Stop looking at me like that. They moved to Rio de Janeiro. And before long, they had 3 kids under the age of 4. According to one source, she continued to dance professionally at this time. I do not know how that worked out. I don't know how. Who watched the babies? I don't even know.
Well, I'm assuming. I don't know how Mormon, in the intricacies of like child care, but I would imagine also because he has money.
Well,
they have a lot of help, but also you can fly out her family to help.
That's a good point. That's probably, I mean, I don't know, but that's the only thing that makes sense to me, because they eventually settle in Utah and they purchased in 2017, they purchased a farm. Then that didn't work. So they purchased the next farm, which they call the Ballerina Farm.
Okay.
Because she's a former ballerina, because I'm sure he's proud of the fact that he bagged a ballerina, because men are assholes. You
he
know
bagged,
it.
Then bedded, then
impregnated. Made those babies and her. Men are fucking assholes. Anyways, allegedly, I'm not calling him an asshole to his face. So they are in Utah. There is a quote from her. Okay. Our first few years of marriage were really hard. We sacrificed a lot. But we did have this vision, this dream. And then the article, it says that Daniel interrupts her and says, we still do. And then the reporter asks her, what kind of sacrifices? Like, what did you give up? And she says, I gave up dance, which was hard. You give up a piece of yourself, and Daniel gave up his career ambitions. Now let's talk about Daniel's ambitions for a moment.
Cool. Working for his rich daddy? I mean,
he worked for his rich daddy, his rich, rich dad, like billionaire daddy. Okay. So you don't have to work. He went to business school at the University of Utah. Now, I'm not saying that the University of Utah is not a good school. I have no idea. But I know that as far as really good business schools go, it's not on the list.
It ain't Harvard.
It ain't Harvard. It ain't Kellogg. There are places to go where you are actually good. I don't see it.
I mean, if he went to business school, then his dream was to work in business, which he did, but just for his daddy. So I don't understand how that's a sacrifice.
And then he really wanted a farm, so he took daddy's money, bought a farm. What do you
mean?
You wanted
your
wife to stay home.
Yeah. Like,
look where your wife is.
It must be nice to be this delusional. God.
Right.
Why couldn't I have won that $1 billion in here in California?
Like, I know. I think it's because you have to buy the lottery ticket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, first.
I just want to live, 20 years as a delusional billionaire.
God, that'd be nice. I'll take 2 years. That's fine. And then I'll give it all away, but I want 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely got to give it away because you can't spend all that money into charity and stuff. So
no, I'm just going to buy a politician. That's how they do it now. It's fine. I'm just going to buy a good one. That's the only difference.
Right, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just buy a good one. Yeah.
That's fine. Whatever. I play the game the rules are written. Got it. We've rewritten the rules. Let's go. Okay.
Let's go. But okay. So she's like, we sacrificed. I'm thinking, no, you did all the sacrifice and popping out them babies. Like,
right. Okay. He won't let her get a nanny. So they have a bunch of babysitters. He wants a date night once a week. Said babysitters will watch the kids once a week for this date night. He even says that he wished she were home more. He thought she would be more hands-on. They have, Lavetta, are you ready? 8 children. 8 children. Okay. So they have this farm. Okay.
Okay.
She started a TikTok on this farm. It now has 9.8 million viewers.
Oh, followers. She's one of these fucking trad wife women.
Yes.
So you got me. Because I'm like, I didn't even know what trad wife was until recently. I think you told me. And I'm like,
I probably told you because it's some white stupid shit, you know. White women love some stupid shit. It's a fun, you know.
I mean, white people in America in general love the idea of like Little House on the Prairie. We're doing it's like, no, it's just slavery under all of that. And then I love Little House on the Prairie like everybody else too. But it's not like you just by my own hands, I'm farming, I'm tilling the farm and the earth. And no, it don't work like that. There's all this hidden
Little
labor.
House on the Prairie. They act like they had a choice and chose to live the way. No, that was just life. And Laura wrote it down. Come on. Like,
and it was hard.
And it was hard. Especially because
you didn't have a rich daddy. Yeah.
Right.
You didn't have all those kids to till the farm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Get out in them fields. That's why you had to have 8 children. Okay.
Right. And let's talk about this for a moment. These trad wives who have 9.8 million followers. They don't all have 9.8 million followers, but many of them have a lot of followers. Okay. Let's be very, very honest. Whether or not they need to be breadwinners, they are. Mm-hmm. When you have 9.8 million followers on TikTok, you are rich as fuck without your billionaire husband. So this whole idea that their house isn't also a movie set is ridiculous. That's her job. Her job is to act zen as she makes Rice Krispie treats from fucking scratch. No one ever needs to make a marshmallow. There she is with a baby on her hip by the Aga, which is an old-timey oven, which is like $35 million.
Don't tell me they got an old-timey fucking oven. Don't.
And here's what I would say. Yes.
These motherfuckers.
And then she's like, but I got it on sale. Bitch.
This is gonna... This is why I hate hipsters. Because they're the precursor for these fucking trad wife. Yeah. Preserving your stuff in a mason jar is only cool because you never grew up in the fucking country where getting ate up, in the South, we always mispronounce stuff for emphasis, ate up by fucking mosquitoes, dodging fucking alligators and snakes in the grass. Like, it's not glamorous if you had to do that to actually preserve actual food. It's only glamorous if you live in fucking some suburb of New York City. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's the one I'm thinking of that girls were set in?
It's Williamsburg.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's only fucking glamorous if you're living in fucking Williamsburg and you're like, I'm going to make my own preserved pickles. No, go to Manhattan, where the Jewish community have been making delicious pickles for hundreds and hundreds of years, and just buy them. Okay,
you're very welcome.
Yeah, there's
put
them in mason jars yourself.
He's YouTubing, right? And he goes, "Mom, I don't remember what the ingredients were because it doesn't matter. We need these 3 things, and we can make pickles." And I went, "You know, for the same price, if not cheaper, I could go buy pickles."
You know what? Ding, 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 ding. For the same price, you guys are out here fooling around.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. It's lies. It's lies. It's like, lies. We're living off the farm, off of our own labor. Fuck you. Okay. I'm sorry. I just had to go on that tangent, but tell me about this girl. Okay.
But on top of which, they were able to put a lot of money into the farm in order to make the milking of the cow a lot easier. They collect eggs, but it's lovely. They have help. They have staff. They have staff.
That's what I'm saying. This is unseen labor.
Yes.
But you're pretending like you're doing all this stuff. Because people who actually had to live on farms and run their own farms, it's not fucking glamorous getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well,
it's not.
That's the thing that gets me is every single bit of this is for show. Yeah. Every single bit of this, you know, and they say this, they say that we feel like we are an example, like a good Mormon example of how to be, you know, and that Jaws is going to do is garner them a lot of money and make a lot of people feel bad about themselves. And what I think is really interesting is she has inspired other celebrities that like her. Celebrities we think of, I'm not going to go into who it is,
who also have mansions and staff.
Like, you know,
we're
you
playing
can,
at being poor,
right? And also like, those clothes that look like they're from Little House on the Prairie, they're not cheap. She has a store on her TikTok.
Of course she does.
Where they have, you know, protein powder to help make natural pancakes, $300 boots. It's not.
Oh, so she's just Gwyneth Paltrow, but for fake Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah. It's a brand. She's a brand. She's a brand, and her home is a brand. They homeschool, but they have a teacher.
So they have a governess? Miriam,
that's literally what that is. That's literally what that is. Like, you know, she did have a little like ballet studio, but they took it over for the kids to have school.
It's just these rich people playing at being poor. And now, as someone who comes from working class stock, this is deeply, deeply offensive.
It's offensive because it's falsifying what it's like to actually live off land, create out of nothing, and to survive. It's falsifying it. It's, you know, the most recent thing that I saw on her was today, because I was doing research, and she spills something on the Aga, and she's holding a baby, and then the next shot is her carefully, calmly cleaning it up, which is, it's hot, right? So where'd the baby go?
Does she constantly have the baby on her hip?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she does. Well, let me tell you, as an exercise professional, I can tell you, you're going to be in a lot of pain. Okay, you might already be in a lot of pain. Okay? That's why they made carriers. Okay.
Yeah, and also, if you were really doing all of this, you wouldn't have time to film it. Because people who actually live off of the labor that they do every day don't have time. They don't have time to pee because it's so much work to be done.
Don't have time to film 72 seconds of a thought I have on occasion. I only have two kids and a very hands-on father to them. Okay.
Yeah.
He makes dinner half the time. He does more dishes than I've ever done. And he will continue to do so because that's just how it is. He asked me to marry him and this, he reaps the benefit. Okay. And I'm exhausted. So you can't come to me and say, if you just embrace bullshit, y'all come from money. I want to hear it. So here's a few fun facts that happened recently. Okay. Relatively recently. So 2023, she won the Mrs. American pageant in Las Vegas. So she was invited back to the city to compete in Mrs. World. The Mrs. World pageant was 2 weeks after she gave birth, and she went to the pageant. Yes, she did.
Did you say Mrs. American and not Mrs. America?
I said Mrs. American. I don't know if it's different.
Oh, well, because Mrs. America is a real thing, but Mrs. American definitely sounds like it could also
be a
real thing.
It could be a misprint. It could be a misprint, or I typed it wrong. Okay. That happens.
All right.
Occasionally, I make a mistake. I didn't want anyone to know. because it's shocking. But yes.
Well, also, I mean, to your point, what's also enraging about this as a woman is because a woman like this is held up to ridicule and criticize other women.
Yeah.
Who, by comparison, are not living up to it because they don't have a rich husband with a lot of help and over 9 million followers.
Now,
the revenue that you're making from that.
I don't know one woman who postnatally stopped bleeding before 2 weeks.
Oof.
Now, maybe you're not bleeding as heavily because a little known fact, if you've not had children and are looking to do it or not.
I did not notice about the bleeding. This is one other reason not to have children.
Oh, yes. It's a good one, too, because it's basically, it's not your normal pad, ladies. It's a diaper. Because the shit that's coming out of your body is a lot. Okay. It's not fun. No.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. Because your uterus has
Because you were holding a... Because you grew a person inside of you. Yeah. Or in your case, you grew two people.
Two people. Two ungrateful people. I'm fine. I love them so much.
And then the world is like, when are you going to snap back?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to snap your face. Now, listen, I will also say this as someone who works with bodies. She is tall and thin. She does have a frame that can kind of get back to that.
Yes, because she was a trained ballerina for most of her life.
And also, there's shit rich people can do to fix things. And I don't even think it's probably very good for you.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
So please know that. You should not be competing in Miss World in heels and a bikini 2 weeks after giving birth.
And also, she's still in her 30s and she has 8 children now. So she's been having children since she was like 20, sounds like. Mm-hmm. And she never had to have a baby, then get up and then go and work at Target.
Yep.
Work at Amazon.
Yep.
Drive Uber. Drive
Lyft.
To pay
your bills.
And then come home and cook because your husband is like, you should do more. Like you, like this is all that unseen labor that we're talking about. Cause even if you don't have a nanny, but you have a governess, if you got a governess,
she got a governess,
you got other, you may not call her a nanny. You said babysitters. I don't know the difference. One leaves after a couple of hours, but the other one sleeps over. I don't know.
I mean,
yeah. My point is she's not a regular woman, but people will hold her up as being like, why can't you do what she does?
That's the problem. And that's the problem. And there is a lot of, I want to be like her. Oh, and it's like, she's not like her. She's playing a part. So she does this pageant, you know, got very, and her followers, I don't know, doubled, tripled, whatever. Like, people were obsessed. She made it to round two. She does the pageant, you know, and she talks about how she felt empowered and blah, blah, blah. All that old boss bitch stuff. I feel empowered. Okay, stop it. So this past summer, this is when I first heard of her because someone was like, oh, did you hear? And I was like, no. Because I do try to stay away from the white nonsense, but it, you know, as a white person, it's very challenging. Okay. And apparently she had wanted and been egging on and begging for a trip to Greece. Like, that's what she wanted for her birthday. Now, it's what I want for my birthday every year also, and I don't get it. The point is, the man is a billionaire whose father owns JetBlue. So getting tickets to go to Greece should not be an issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Billionaire, JetBlue. Kept talking about wanting to go to Greece. The man buys her an egg apron. An egg apron. What? That's an apron with little holes you could put eggs in when you pick up the eggs. Now a basket works better, I think. You'd crunch it less in case you have to lean down or something. But got her, talks about how he'd had it for a while, and she opens it like in front of her children on the Instagram, on the TikTok, right? And you could see her face, and you could see her like looking for tickets to Greece. And the problem with this, I will say, is not that she didn't go to Greece, because bitch made her bed, but it's that you could see two things. They are either doing this to go viral, and get famous. Or he's trying to control the situation by saying, you go to Greece when I tell you, you go to Greece. You don't ask to go to Greece. Neither of which I think is okay.
Yeah. If he would not wait for her to graduate college.
By a year?
He's definitely controlling.
Yeah.
And it only kind of works because he has money. But actually being controlled by a rich man is far more terrifying, I think, than being controlled by a poor man.
Yeah.
Because a poor man, you can get away from that motherfucker. But a rich man is a lot harder to get away from. Yeah, and I'm looking at his smug face. And
that's what I'm saying. It's not like he's like that hot, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, smug. I feel like, you know, what pick me's get wrong is, and a pick me, just for, so you guys know, is a woman who's always like, oh, pick me, pick me. I'm better than her. See, pick me. That's what a pick me is. And like, pick me's, what they don't understand is that you're never going to be good enough. He might choose you. You might be chosen.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be happier than the woman who's not chosen, because ultimately it's on whatever mood he's in.
It really
like your happiness
does.
Depends on that.
It reminds me of like books I've read about relationships and things that took place in the early 1900s and the late 1800s. And they are recreating that. But when I read those books, I'm horrified by what takes place. Like, they talk about more kids and she's kind of like hemming and hawing and he's like, oh no, we're not done. And then later when he is accused of patriarchal abuse, she's like, no, we're not done. So, you know, I'm not going to put words in her mouth, but this image is not good for society. Is not helping.
Yeah, because a smacking only, like the physical abuse, I'm pretty sure he talks down to her. And he may not have ever hit her, but it's not until as you get older will you even recognize the talking down, like the demeaning language. Even the fact that you are online saying, you know, like you said, let's say they're not aware of it, right? And it is genuine in exchange between her and him. And she's like, I really, really want to go to Greece. I really, really want to go to Greece.
Yeah.
And for him to like set it up where you think you're going to go to Greece and then you don't, he got you an apron. It's like the equivalent of giving you a vacuum cleaner when you ask for a trip to Spain. Like,
right. And we just won $8 million.
Yeah, and it's also even more insulting that this motherfucker can well afford, because usually a poor guy, now a poor guy's like, he'd be like, well, baby, I can't afford a trip to Greece. Like, we can't afford it. And it's truly we can't afford it, right? But a rich man whose father owns JetBlue, and he still doesn't get it for you. And I bet she doesn't control her money.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, he talks about how he wishes it was more patriarchal. And she's like, my parents always work together. And so we're going to work together. And there is this argument. People say, oh, we see him holding the baby. He does do the parenting. And I'm like, once again, you're seeing a lot of show.
By holding his baby?
He has eight children.
He's a fucking father.
Did you see him holding one child once? Yeah, fucker. You better.
Also, you don't get a fucking medal for doing the bare minimum of holding a baby. Babies are delightful. Have you met babies?
Babies are
adorable.
When
they're not crying. They're magical.
Like, you really are.
Especially if it looks like you. Come on.
Right? So that, listen, I might get a lot of hate for this, but because people love her. They love her.
Yeah, people who... Listen, I am a independent woman, always been independent. It's exhausting being independent. Like, what is it? Ali Wong said, I don't want to lean in. I want to lay down. I'm all for that.
Yeah,
okay.
Same.
The problem is not the woman wanting to do that. The problem is finding a man that would allow you to do that and still love you. And not try and control when you have a baby, when you go to the bathroom. And like that whole thing about, like you said, he set the precedence when he booked the flight, showed up.
Yeah.
She said, I'm not really interested in you.
Yep.
And he's, some men feel like that's romantic. Like it's like, I'm just going to wear you down and right? So, but then, so that's a red flag. But then forcing us to be together and you get pregnant before we even get married.
No. They got married. You know they didn't. You know he wanted to have sex with her, and that's why he's like, "I gotta get married right now."
I mean, my point is like,
yeah,
forcing the issue. Like, we're getting engaged a month later. Mm-hmm. We're getting married. Mm-hmm. Like, and then we're having a baby right away. Like, that's what I mean. Like, dude, you couldn't wait 8 months, and like, you know, when they're that young, you can, you know, you could say, "Oh, it's just young people are so impatient and they just want to do it right away," but. No. It's also like, why are you in a hurry? Like,
I had friends who did theater and dance and they were married. They weren't on a farm.
Is it that he's just like, oh, some guy at Juilliard's going to lock you down, so I need to lock you? Well, they hadn't locked her down 3.5 years up to that point, so.
Or no, you would get famous. You would get.
See, that's what I think it is.
Because she was that good.
That's what
she
I think was. It was.
She had traveled. She's amazing.
Yeah.
You would get famous. You would get tours. You would meet the queen. Oh, no. I need you on my farm.
And also, what's the good in being married to a rich man if you don't get to enjoy being rich?
Like, do you know?
Like going to Greece when you feel like it.
For me to be a trad wife, let me tell you my rule.
Okay.
First of all, bare minimum, you're a billionaire. Okay.
right.
Bare
right.
minimum. Right. I'm telling you what you're giving your money to, what causes are close to my heart.
Right.
Yes. Not your mm-hmm. heart. My heart. Where we're going, where we buy houses, and the staff in which will clean said houses and take care of them. That way we give into the economy and I don't have to lift a finger. I don't think that's what tradwife means. So I think I've already failed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't, I mean, she's still young, so I'm hoping she wakes up to the fact that, but I don't know, this generation is very preoccupied with how they're being perceived. And, yeah, you know, yeah. they are like the house, Real Housewives, the children that Real Housewives created, like that whole idea, like
that's interesting.
It's more important. I'm thinking of like Erica Jane, or like you find out later on these women are being abused and like, you know, mm-hmm. financially abused. Yeah. You know, where they don't have their own money, and this is what I'm telling you. This election is not just about queer phobia and hate. It's also about putting white women, specifically white women, back in their place and back in the kitchen, so they having these babies. And white men don't have to compete against you in the workforce.
That is why when these famous white actors support her and love her because of her sourdough recipe, I'm calling them out because this is bringing us back. And I'm not going back. You're not going back. Fuck that. At the very least, we have to call it out. At the very least, you have to call it out.
Yeah. And he's similar in age to her. He looks a lot older than her.
He's just ugly, honey.
And
That's it.
It's also because we know what he's been doing and we know what he is doing. She is way out of his league and he realized that. And that's why he's like, I'm going to lock this down. You ain't going nowhere, woman.
There is one video that he has on her account wherein his teeth are like blue and his eyes are red and itchy. Is mm-hmm. soon after the debacle of the Greece tickets and the lack thereof. And he goes, I just had some, my eyes are itchy. I don't know what's wrong. And I just had some blackberry pie. And so my teeth are like that. And all the comments are like, blackberry pie does not do that to your teeth. She's trying to poison you. So I would like to end this episode with some hope. Okay. You know. Some thoughts and prayers to him.
Mm. Right now, she's mm-hmm. your kind of notorious woman where she's problematic, you know, but famous. And then she'll turn into my kind of notorious woman where she's killing motherfuckers.
I'm hoping this is just a part one, you know.
Well, on that note, that wraps it up for the latest episode of Notorious Women. Guys, remember to follow us on all the things. Also, if you want to support the show financially, you can do that at our patreon.com. I mean, listen, we don't need 9 million followers. We'll take a million.
1 million followers.
1 million followers. But if you want to send us some money, you can do that at patreon.com/notoriouswomen. That's patreon.com/notoriouswomen. Sorry, I can't get over that. She's poisoning you.
Just, you know, girls gotta do. Okay.
Oh, God, that's hilarious. And Miriam, oh, and guys, also, a happy new year. And if you want to, I don't know, respond, if you want to make some suggestions, if you want to weigh in, you can do that on our socials that that Miriam's going to share with you in just a moment. But also, give us a 5-star review. If you want to mention something in our review in the Apple Store or on Spotify, you can do that. Just go to the Apple Store or Spotify and leave us a 5-star review. And then you can put in there, like, why don't you look up this woman? Or here's another trad wife you guys.
Oh, yeah, please
do. Yeah, I could try. So, but Miriam, how else can they support and find the show?
Yes, you guys can follow us on Instagram, Notorious Women Podcast, and TikTok, also Notorious Women Podcast. They are slightly different, so check them both out. Follow us there. You can DM us on our Instagram, but you can also email us at notoriouswmpod@gmail.com. We also have episodes on YouTube that you can listen to, and you can comment and subscribe to that as well. And that is that.
All right, guys, we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.